Darren Kelly joins me now with JobSpot. Darren, I believe you have a lot today.
I got four in total, John, and three from Logstrup in June. But beforehand, we're going to do... Sarmonics are looking for an assistant accountant to join their team in Ballinasloe. Fixed-term contract covering maternity leave. For more information, visit www.sarmonics.com/careers. And as I mentioned, Logstrup June are hiring sub-assembly operators. Duties include assembly of components and kits. Full training provided. Apply via email to info@logstrup.ie. And Logstrup Tume are also hiring mechanical assembly operators. Duties include the mechanical assembly of electrical panels. Previous experience in mechanical assembly would be an advantage. Full training provided. Again, the email is info@logstrup.ie. And finally, Logstrup Tume are hiring machine shop operators. Duties include the operation of press brakes, punch presses and saws. Previous experience will be an advantage. Full training provided. Email CV to info@logstrup.ie. And if you need any phone numbers or email addresses, please call a reception on 091-770-077. Search hashtag Galway Jobs on social media or go to goabfm.ie/jobspot.
Good morning and welcome to Galway Talks with John Morley. It's time for Culture Corner now, and I say I'm joined in the studio by Pat Collins, who is the director of That They May Face the Rising Sun, which was filmed in Connemara. Pat, good morning.
Morning, John.
Good to have you with us. Talk to us about the film. I know you had your Galway premiere last night.
That's right. We made the film back, we filmed it in up around Clonbur and Cornemona in 2022 in around May, June. And I made a documentary back 20 years ago on the writer of the book, That They May Face the Rising Sun, John McGarhan. Mm-hmm. And it was over, I think we actually started working on the script and nearly started in 2015, 2016 with my co-writer, Eamon Little, who lives here in Galway. And it took us a good few years to get the funding to make it. And of course, I went through a whole pre-production of casting it. And we got a kind of the cream of Irish acting really to take part in it. People like Sean McGinley, who's very strong Galway connections, and Brendan Conroy, who's in Tume as well. It's getting a cinema release now in Ireland and the UK. So it's over in 70 screens, I think, in Ireland, and nearly 70 screens in the UK as well.
And it's been met with great acclaim as well, because I know it won the best film at the Dublin International Film Festival, and it was nominated for 11 awards at the IFTAs recently.
That's right, and it won best film. That was a kind of a great boost last Saturday night, especially to win it just before the cinema, the release of the film. And I think best film is a very good one to win, because it kind of recognises all of the cast and all of the crew. Mm. You know, winning best director is nice for me personally, but really, I suppose winning best film is the one that kind of recognises the contribution of the whole team. And there's been very good reviews in the Irish Times and from here and abroad. We've screened at a good few festivals abroad, like in Gothenburg and Sweden and Santa Barbara in America, and there's been a very good reaction, very strong reaction. I think in a way it's kind of surprising in some ways that people feel such a connection in Sweden to the characters as well. I mean, there's people coming up after the screening saying these characters are very like the people who live in the countryside in Sweden, and I wasn't really expecting that. Yeah. I was thinking it's so specific to Ireland, but it seems to be a very universal characters. I think these kind of characters, you know, they're kind of complex and they're interesting and they're sometimes cruel, sometimes kind of, some of them are just lovely characters who haven't got a bad bone in their body. But there's a whole range of them, and they seem to have variations of them in every country that I've kind of visited with the film.
And give us a sense of the storyline of this film.
Well, it follows Joe Rutledge and his wife. Joe Rutledge is a writer, and his wife, Kate, is a German artist. And Joe is from the area originally, and then he comes back to live in this area. Now, it's the setting of the novel is in Leitrim, but we had to film in up around Clonbur and Cornemona. But it was so it really follows that couple and all of the characters that live around them, which is kind of by a lake, and it follows them over the course of a year. And it starts in spring, and then goes through the whole year into winter. We went back and filmed in winter as well when the snow was on the mountains. And there's weddings and there's funerals and there's kind of there's darkness and there's kind of dark stories and there's kind of light stories. It follows the whole variation of the year and what could happen to these characters. Mm. So it's they all come to Joe and Kate's house and they all there's cups of tea, there's glasses of whiskey, they all talk and they all chat with Joe and Kate, and they've all got a series of kind of problems that Joe and Kate help them with. And I think it's it feels, I suppose, maybe it feels very close to the kind of the world that I grew up in, and maybe in West Cork. So I think that universality is there as well within Ireland, you know.
And you have a stellar cast involved.
Yeah, I mean, it's really Barry Ward, actually, who plays Joe Rutledge, is a great actor. He's in Bad Sisters, and he was in Jimmy's Hall. Yeah. He worked with Ken Loach, and he's just superb, I think, as Joe Rutledge. And then there's Sean McGinley, there's Lauda Roddy, who's an actor from Belfast, and he plays Patrick, and a very complex character. He plays a tradesman who's an amateur actor, and is kind of it's just a really powerful performance, and sometimes you're kind of sitting back. I mean, I've seen it countless times, dozens of times, and I still have to kind of sit back and admire his performance and the kind of character that he is. He's such a kind of dark, complex, but kind of charismatic figure, and you're very much drawn to him. And I think then, as I said, Brendan Conroy plays a character who's kind of what we'd call, or maybe in the novel, he's called a homeboy, which is kind of from an industrial school, and he's working for a local farmer, not getting paid, just getting bored. And who else? Ruth McCabe is there, and then there was a local actor then from Knockrockery in Roscommon that hadn't acted before, and we cast him as a character called Jamesy. He's from Cavan, but he lives there, and I saw him telling stories one night in at the Knockrockery Singing Festival in Roscommon.
Wow.
And I just kind of just thought, God, he's exactly like the character of Jamesy in the book. And I rang him and I said, have you ever acted before? And he said he hadn't. And I said, would you like to? And he said, I'd love to.
Wow.
So it was a big jump for him, because he was nervous and all that, but I kind of felt that he embodied something about the character Jamesy. He just had a really kind of goodness about him, you know. And he fitted right in, really. And I'm sure I'm leaving a couple of actors out now, but it's a very, very strong cast, and it's a huge privilege to be working with them.
Mm, definitely. Now, there are great Galway connections in this film as well. Yourself, you have great Galway connections, but also Sean McGinley and Brendan Conroy from Tuam.
Yeah, but Sean McGinley, I suppose, is very much associated with the Druid Theatre and his wife Marie as well. And and Brendan Conroy would be from Tuam originally, and I suppose they'd both be great kind of stage actors. And Sean McGinley would have been known for series Family over the years, and lots of feature films, and he's just a top class actor, really. He's got such kind of insight into the character. He's bringing a lot from his own life to the character, and he'd break your heart actually in the film, you know. And and then my own connection with Galway's, I lived here in 1990. I moved here in 1990 and did a film foundation course, and I stayed here for about 14 years. I was working on the Film Fla for 3 years, programming the festival, and worked in the Galway Film Centre, editing a film journal called Film West. Mm. So in a way, I kind of learnt my trade here in Galway. And I think, I mean, that's the one thing about Galway. At that time, all through the 90s, it was the kind of place, obviously there was an industry in Dublin, but if you didn't maybe want to go to Dublin, the only place really outside of Dublin was Galway. And there was such a strong kind of film identity here because of the festival, because of the Galway Film Centre. And but at that time, I think in the early 90s, everybody was, you know, we were out in the pubs talking about making films, but we were never actually making them, you know. We were just kind of, we never had the means to make them. But I suppose eventually, you know, the film industry, through Michael D and people like Leela Doolin and people who brought the Irish Film Board to Galway, it really kind of, and T.G. Carr coming to Galway, it really revitalised the whole, or vitalised the industry in the West. And it's still, you know, for young people now, I think it's completely changed. There's avenues into making films and television programs that weren't there in the 80s, and I think people in Galway don't even consider it, how changed it is, you know, and how kind of open it is in terms of trying to engage with the industry.
Mm. It's called That They May Face the Rising Sun, directed by yourself, Pat Collins, and it's released nationwide today.
That's right, yeah, and hopefully it'll be there for a few weeks anyway. And I'd encourage people to go to see it in the cinema, because it's not a film that you watch kind of on a small screen. I don't think it really needs that immersion. And I hope kind of people who haven't been to the cinema in a while kind of engage with it and go. And I think they'll enjoy it.
Brilliant. Pat Collins, thank you for joining us on Galway Talks.
Thanks, John.
Now, we're giving you the chance to win on Galway Talks today, because the Corch Festival runs this week with 6 days of poetry, fiction and conversation at the Corch International Festival of Literature Galway until Sunday. Featuring Booker Prize winner Paul Lynch, renowned authors and acclaimed poets, experience Faber Academy workshops, Irish language and children's events. Don't miss John Banville, Paul Murray, Adele Coffey, Lane Feeney, Rita Ann Higgins, Lemon Sissé, and many more in Galway this April. Book online at corch.ie if you want to be in with a chance of winning tickets to an event in the Mickleally Theatre this Saturday at 11:30. It's the Omnivore Food, Writing and Art. Just text in Corch, that's C-U-I-R-T, and if you want to put a fud on the U, you can as well, to our number, that's 086-3833-553. Do so straight away to be in with a chance of wearing a pair of tickets to the Omnivore Food, Writing and Art on Saturday at 11:30 in the Mickleally Theatre. Do so straight away. To our comments lines now, and this listener says, why stick everything into the college stream? Surely this could have been addressed by having alternative second level education like they have in Germany. The university seemed to want to be in on everything. We should not have abandoned the old VEC model of education. So says this listener. And another listener says, yes, John, I agree with you about going early. This is in terms of the counselling chat we had just before the 11 o'clock news. But waiting times are long, unfortunately. And another listener says, hi, John, can you ask Pat who you're talking to about the new film? Will it be shown on any of the streaming sites? Cheers. That comes in from Ian Nocton in Barnajarrox. And they keep coming in this morning. And please do get your voice heard on 086-3833-553. Still to come on the programme today, we have Ours to Protect, and we have a lovely artist in for Music Mornings. Maeve Walsh joins us because she's released a new single, Like an Angel Calling. And it's written by Johnny B. Broderick, Gavin Murphy, Paul McDonnell, and Maeve Walsh as well. So that's all coming up between now and 12 o'clock. Good morning.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Drive happy in Windsor Motor Mall, Galway, with hundreds of used cars to suit your budget.
Good morning and welcome to Ours to Protect. This week on the programme, I speak to Dr. Noel Doyle, project lead from Leave No Trace Ireland, about how best to protect our coastlines from pollution. If you want to get a comment into the programme, you can do it on our text and WhatsApp number, that's 086-3833-553. Phone reception on 091-77-0077. Email irstoprotect@galwaybayfm.ie. If you want more information on this initiative by IBI and Commission Amon, go on to irstoprotect.ie, where you can take the ecological footprint calculator. All this plus lots more coming up on Ours to Protect. Good morning and welcome to Ours to Protect with me, John Morley. I'm joined on the line by Dr. Noel Doyle, the project lead from Leave No Trace Ireland. Noel, good morning.
Good morning.
Great to have you with us this morning. We're talking all about Leave No Trace Ireland. I know you have two initiatives coming up in Galway in the coming weeks.
Yes, we're part of a partnership with University of Galway, as well as CARO and the MSLETB. The project is the Beaches and Dunes for Climate Adaptation project. So it's a training course for communities to understand, empower and protect their coastal dune systems.
Okay, and what do you actually teach these communities?
Yeah, it's well, the project is funded as part of the Community Climate Action Fund from the DRCD, and it's managed by Pubble. The course is designed to go through an introduction into what dune systems are as an ecosystem, as well as the stressors of climate change and what climate adaptation is, and how to use nature-based solutions. So this is things that communities can learn to do that can protect their dune ecosystems. It's not about reducing necessarily the amount of impacts that are happening on the dune, but actually doing things that can actually build the dunes back and protect them for future generations.
Now, there's two of these taking place in Dogs Bay, County Galway, on the 27th of April and the 18th of May.
Yes, so the course is a 2-day course, and we've got some great feedback and encouragement from the communities that we've done so far. So the theoretical or the workshop part of the course is happening on the 27th, and then the practical, which is the field workshop, where we'll be doing and demonstrating, you know, chestnut fencing, marram grass planting, will be happening on the 12th of May. So it's a 2-day course that's really designed to go through the basics and the biology, but also talk about the local impacts and learn from the local communities about their dune systems and their experiences, and together, you know, building on that to protect them for future generations.
Because by protecting them, you're protecting the communities in question as well, because these are natural flood defences.
Exactly, they're natural buffer zones. They're also habitats for carbon sequestering. They're also havens of biodiversity. You know, a lot of our coastal dunes are the first line of defence against coastal storms, rising seawater. So a lot of the impacts of climate change, dunes and our ecosystems are actually the first line of defence and are so important for our coastal communities.
Is there an element of cleaning up these coastlines as well as part of this?
Yeah, well, it talks about the different stressors that we have in regards to that. You know, we were very fortunate to be working with Clean Coasts, who are going to be helping facilitate on the day. They have a huge network of communities across Galway, Mayo, across the whole country. And it's, again, it's about bringing to light that these dunes are not just a place, you know, to visit. These are an amazing ecosystem that we need to protect them, and these are ways in which we can do it. So we are working with a lot of communities who are already doing dune cleanups and different great initiatives.
And it's great to see there's a great education element to this, and there's different organizations bodying together to deliver this.
Yeah, we've had some great feedback. You know, we've been working with Accelerating Change Together, which have already done some good work with the Birch Connected community in Mayo, and as well as Dr. Kevin Lynch from the University of Galway, and as well the course are being facilitated by Education for Sustainability. So they're a really great group. So, and on top of that, the encouragement that we're getting from the communities, they're like, oh, we're delighted to come here. We're actually nearly oversubscribed for many of the courses, with just interest for people, not just the courses where we're running them, but in other parts of the country saying, can you run the course here? So it is a very much a collaborative partnership where we're engaging with the local community in order to bring a realistic sense of what we're doing in these coastal communities.
And needed in coastal communities as well, because all our litter and pollution flows out to the sea.
Yeah, our litter pollution kind of flows out to the sea, but it's also, you know, you talk about the process. Well, like the whole concept of the course is based around the three S's, you know, so species, sand, and space. So it's not just about litter, it's also about biodiversity. It's also about, is there enough sand for the dunes to kind of heal themselves, and are to be given the same space and time in order to recover? So it's talking about these dunes as a living, breathing system that needs help throughout the year, not just in certain circumstances.
If people want to sign up and get involved, how do they do that?
Yeah, so we have on the Leave No Trace website, in our events page, we have a list of where the courses are happening. Just follow the link. If you have any questions, just get in touch with us, and we can help. And we look forward to seeing everyone there.
And what websites are the best to get more information on this type of initiative?
So the Leave No Trace website is where we have the most information, but also, you know, Clean Coasts have an excellent website and resources on how to protect your dune systems, as well as Carol.
All right, Dr. Noel Doyle, who is the project lead with Leave No Trace Ireland, thank you for joining us on Ars to Protect.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
That's great, Noel. Thanks for that. We'll be putting that out next Thursday at 11:30. And that is all from this week's edition of Ars to Protect. Join us next Thursday at 11:30 for more environmental programming.
Ars to Protect, brought to you by Galway Bay FM, the IBI, and funded by Commission na Mban with the television licence fee. Check out arstoprotect.ie for more info.
Good morning, listen to Galway Talks with John Morley. It's Music Mornings time now, as we always do on Tuesdays and Thursday mornings at 11:15. I'm delighted to say I'm joined in studio by Maeve Walsh. Maeve, good morning.
How are you? Are we getting on?
It's great to have you with us this morning, Maeve. Talk to us about where it all started for you. I know you've been involved in music since your teenage years.
Yeah, so I suppose it all started when I was busking Clarney. Before that, when I was young, I always enjoyed singing and playing folk music. But I suppose in the summer times when I was 14, 15, I used to go with a friend to Killarney and we'd start playing on the side of the street. And I really enjoyed that. And over time, I started gigging in the pubs. And from that, I started posting videos online. And yeah, so that's kind of how it all happened for me in my teenage years. It was very gradual and it was very enjoyable. Music has always been a massive part of my life. And I was in Leaving Cert in the lockdown and I didn't have much to do in my spare time, and I started posting videos on Facebook mainly, and it started getting a good reaction and getting shared around the world. And from there, I suppose I got a bit of confidence and it really encouraged me to go and record some music. And I suppose that kind of leads me to where I am now. From the online thing in lockdown, it connected me to many other musicians for collaborations. It encouraged me to go into the studio and record my first two albums and write my own music. So that's where I'm at now. I've started touring with my band over the last couple of months, and I will be in different venues around Ireland over the summer. And yeah.
And you've amassed a huge following on Facebook alone, 107,000 followers. That's massive.
Thank you. I suppose it was over the lockdown, I started posting and started doing weekly live streams on Friday nights at 8 p.m. And it was very rare I wouldn't be there on a Friday at 8 p.m. So I used to change it up and have teams every night. I used to have Irish folk music, Irish ballads, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, love songs, you name it, I suppose I had a song for it. And that kept me going and that kept me entertained during the lockdown. But it's been very rewarding since then, meeting people in at gigs and things and them saying how it entertained them during the lockdown. And I think it was a great time for Irish music to spread even more than it already has. Lockdown was a hard time for many people, but I think music gave a lot of people a lot of enjoyment, and, you know, it gave them a bit of entertainment during that hard time.
And you've toured and collaborated with some of the most popular bands around the country, the likes of the Whistling Donkeys, and you've been with Dan McCabe as well. That must have been a great experience.
Yeah, in 2022, I was on tour with Dan McCabe. That was just before my final year of college. I had an absolute ball, and I got to see a lot of amazing venues around the country. I think it gave me a lot of incredible experience as well. So that was a great time. And also, yeah, I've done a good few videos now with the Whistling Donkeys, and I've joined with them many times on stage. So yeah, it's just been a pleasure to get invited by artists that I've followed myself since I was quite young, and connect with them and learn a bit from how they do their music. And yeah, so I suppose it's great to take a bit of inspiration from all these other Irish artists around the place. And yeah, I've been quite lucky to meet some amazing artists that I've looked up to a long, long time.
And it's a global scene as well. I know last year you travelled right around the world.
Yeah, so last year I went to Dubai in September on my first tour in Dubai. And then I went to the States. I went to America in December for my debut tour. I went to Boston, New York, Connecticut, and Springfield, Massachusetts. and it went absolutely amazing. It exceeded all expectations I could have possibly set. And I knew going home from that week in America that I had to come back as soon as possible. Mm. So I didn't wait too long, and I went back in February, and I also added Philadelphia to the list on top of New York, Boston, Connecticut, and Springfield. And that was amazing. The support over in America for Irish music is absolutely incredible. So yeah, I think that'll be a spot I will be visiting a lot more often.
And I know you recently graduated with an honours degree in social science. That must help in terms of the music writing.
Yeah, I find I've always had a major interest in things that are going on in the world, and I suppose the interactions between people. I really enjoyed that course. I suppose I was in first year when lockdown started, and now I'm graduated. I can't believe how fast that has happened. But it was very important to me throughout that whole time to make college number one. It was quite hard at times, music. It was hard not to let music take over at times, but I made sure I put the head down and just got through it. And it was very rewarding to walk out that door of UCC with the piece of paper in my hand. it does help with the songwriting, I think, in a bit, because it opens up my interest into other topics at times.
And do you want to continue in education? I know there's plans for a master's in music therapy.
Yeah, so definitely. I'm already working on my experience at the moment. I'm involved in social care, and I really enjoy that in my free time. But I'm trying to slowly work towards music therapy. That has always kind of been the goal when I went into social science. So I think it's a great way of connecting music with my other interest into, I suppose, social care, social science. And yeah, that's kind of the goal. It's the dream, really. So hopefully, in time.
Talk to us about Like an Angel Calling. I know you worked closely with a man that's quite known to us in the programme here, Johnny B. Broderick.
Yes, so Johnny got on to me, and we were chatting away, and he told me about the song that he wrote, and I played it, I listened to it, and I absolutely loved it. So we didn't waste too much time. We got together and we recorded this with a man, Gavin Murphy. And it was an incredibly enjoyable time recording, and it was a great experience recording with different people like Johnny. I'm an amazing songwriter. I really like the words of the song. I think it's a beautiful love song that kind of tells how two people, how over time, the story. And I really, really love it. And it's quite an emotional song as well. And yeah, I'm delighted. That's going to be out very soon, over the next couple of weeks, on all platforms. It'll be available for pre-order in the next week. That'll all be available on my social medias. It's called Like an Angel Calling. And I hope that you enjoy it.
Bring it in your own time, Maeve.
Perfect, thank you.
Like two swans on the river, that's where I'd like to be. You lie behind my eyes before I open them to see. There's a mist beyond the reach as the sun is breaking through, along with the dawning, every day belongs to you. Every time I see your face, it's like a bright star falling. Every time I feel your grace, fire inside is burning. If you were here beside me now, I'd say these words out loud. Every time you say my name, it's like an angel calling. My hand inside your hand, from the mountains to sea. Diving in together, as deep as we can be. It's everything about you, I've fallen, fall again. without you, our time will never end. Every time I see your face, it's like a bright star falling. Every time I feel your grace, the fire inside is burning. If you were here beside me now, I'd say these words out loud. Every time you say my name, it's like an angel calling. Every time I see your face, it's like a bright star falling. Every time I feel your grace, the fire inside is burning. If you were here beside me now, I'd say these words out loud. Every time you say my name, it's like an angel calling. Every time you say my name, it's like an angel calling.
Well done, Maeve. That's a beautiful song. You sing it and perform it so beautifully as well.
Thank you.
I know Johnny worked with you on that one, but you're going to be releasing a lot of your own original music as well in the next while.
Yeah, so I've been working closely with my own band lately. I've a bass player, Quilta Cooney. I have a banjo player, TJ Willis, and I had a wonderful piano player and accordion player, Andrew, join us lately. So we've been having a lot of fun coming up with different ideas, but I released two of my own tracks back before the end of the year. 21 and 22 was the first one, and One of a Kind was the second one. I have a full album on the way after the release of Like an Angel Calling. That'll be over the next few months, and I'll have all the information for that on my social media as Maeve Walsh Music. It's spelled M-E-A-D-H-B-H, the Irish way, and yeah, I can't wait. I've worked very hard on it. It's been about a year in the making, bit by bit, baby steps, and I think I'll be very proud of it once it's out. So yeah, can't wait for that.
And you'll be touring all over the world again this summer, but you'll also be in Galway, a little place called Woodford in the Cornerstone.
Yes, so that is going to be
the 28th of June, I believe.
28th of June, exactly. That's going to be a lovely intimate venue with my band that we'll be going to. It's a lovely rural area as well. So tickets for that will be available on Eventbrite on my social media over the next week, if you keep an eye out. We also plan on releasing a lot more dates over the next 2 to 3 weeks. We'll be in Galway again, I'm sure, over the summer. And we have a lot of festivals that we'll be in. We'll be on the Clifton Summerfest on the 14th of June. We were at that last year and it was great. And we're looking forward to that again. So that's the 14th of June in Clifton.
Brilliant. I know you're trying to win them over now, so you're going to play a Galway song to play us out.
Yes, I absolutely love this one, The Galway Shawl. So, if you know it, sing along in your cars or wherever you're listening.
In your own time, Maeve.
Perfect.
In Oranmore, in the county Galway, one pleasant evening in the month of May, I spied a damsel. She was young and handsome, and her beauty fairly took my breath away. She wore no jewels nor costly diamonds, no paint, no powder, she wore none at all. She wore a bonnet with the ribbon on it, and around her shoulder was a Galway shawl. We kept on walking, She kept on talking till our father's cottage that came into view. She says, come in, sir, and meet my father and play to please him the foggy dew. She sat me down there beside the turf fire. I could see her father, he was 6 feet tall. And then her mother had the kettle boiling, and all I could think about was a Galway shawl. She wore no jewels nor costly diamonds, no paint, no powder. She wore a bonnet with the ribbon on it, and around her shoulder was a Galway shawl. I played the blackbird and the sack of barley, like an Irish linnet, and a tear she fell from her eyes so blue. 'Twas early, early, all in the morning, when I hit the road for sweet Donegal. She said, goodbye, sir. She cried and kissed me, and all I could think about was a Galway shawl.
Well done, that's Maeve Walsh singing the Galway Shawl. And if you want to go and see her live, you can do so on the 28th of June in the Cornerstone, or indeed at the Clifton Fest as well. But thanks to Maeve, thanks to beautiful music. And that's where we make our leave for this morning's programme. And the winner of the tickets to Corch is Anna Donoghue. Still to come on the programme tomorrow, we'll have a lot of topics already. Help Ben B Cancer will bring you details on that. We also have the Oranmore Schools Creative Cluster. Cree brings civil society industry together to highlight urgent need for National Heart Strategy. As well as that, it's Organ Donor Awareness Week. Some people affected by that join us in studio. Trailer Park Electric Picnic, we'll be giving you details on that, because there's a dose of homegrown creativity. We have Galway Thoughts, this time with Niall Blaney, Fergal Landy and Michelle Smith, all MEP candidates. And we have the Sports Preview with Ollie Turner. My thanks to Darren Kelly, who produced. Siobhan, who took your calls on reception. Up next is Roland Lardner with the Live Wire. Very good morning to you.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motor Mall Galway, located on the Monavay Road.